Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
Do you condemn the anti-Semitic protests on college campuses?
I condemn the anti-Semitic protests. That's why I've set up a program to deal with that. I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians.
That is what they're calling his Charlottesville moment, if you will. Sean Spicer with us this afternoon to comment on that and everything else that's happening in this wacky, kooky world, some of it which is frightening. How are you, Sean? Good to have you back.
Great to be with you again. I'm concerned. How's that?
Yeah.
There are things that are layups in politics, easy answers. I took a bunch at the podium during my tenure where there were easy questions and challenging ones. That was an easy one, and it shouldn't be something that you should have to wait to get asked for. That should be something that they should be proactively putting out statements on. And it's sad that, you know, the left likes to call it whataboutism, and the idea that we are that they are now engaged in it and silent on it is interesting.
You know, I was shocked and horrified, but again, it's par for the course. The other day, when this administration couldn't even say anything about Iran, and they were unwilling to do so, that was really a little surprising to me. And their press, KJP's press, they don't say anything.
Well, it's the funny part about it is they're so quick to condemn everybody else, quick to condemn MAGA and everybody who supports Trump. And yet when it comes to what's right and wrong, it's not partisan. We've always stood by Israel. It's suddenly because they have political concerns in a lot of their key battleground states, it's suddenly they're silent, they're complicit. The idea that we can't call out violence, that we have to equivocate, it's so unbelievable. And we see it in their policy and in their words. I mean, I don't want to get ahead of things, but I mean, the border's the same way. I mean, Biden's on the record over and over again throughout his, you know, half a century in public service, claiming that the border is something that we should be able to secure. And it's the same thing with this, that until when they stick their finger up and they look at the way the political winds are blowing, they changed their mind. This is the guy who said that Roe was wrongly decided. He was personally pro-life until he wasn't.
Can you explain the Title IX situation from this perspective? You know, I said this yesterday, and there are several issues. The border is another one where it's like an 80-20 issue, right? It's not even close what people feel in this country about the border. I would say, while you wouldn't be able to stop people on the street and say, hey, can you explain Title IX to me? They certainly are familiar with the issues at play with trans folks, et cetera. So it seems like politically a terrible decision, but I guess that these are the promises that they've made. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, the thing that I find so funny is that, and actually not the right word, the thing that I find so reprehensible about it, it's probably a better way to put this, is, you know, if you're an advocate, a women's advocate that fought for women's rights, women to get equal access and equal funding, and finally achieve that status, to now turn around and say a bunch of men are going to take it from you, and you are silent and or complicit in allowing this to happen, I just don't know how you look yourself in the mirror.
I don't either. And then, you know, you kind of take it to the other extreme. I had this story yesterday that came out last week from this smaller community in Michigan where you had, you know, officials from the school sending out an email to parents of 5 and 6 and 7 year olds at this elementary school saying, hey, we're going to learn about pronouns. And, you know, some of this stuff is just so offensive to me. And I don't know how we stop it because it seems to take on a life of its own, which kind of brings us back to the Donald Trump factor, Sean, because there's so many people. You probably heard what Bill Barr said last week. A lot of people took a stand against Trump. I certainly was one that wasn't a fan of the behavior, but it's almost like Biden and the Democrats have backed so many people into a corner. There's no other choice, obviously. And if you want the country to change, what are you going to do?
Well, that's exactly it. Look, here's the deal. We've got to get people's head wrapped around the reality that is this election. If you look for 4 years and you look at what we did domestically in terms of energy, in terms of securing the border and law and order, taxes and employment and all those things, and contrast that with four, it shouldn't be a tough choice. And conversely, if you look at what we're doing internationally, there were no international skirmishes. Vladimir Putin wasn't on the ascent. He wasn't annexing land. He wasn't attacking other people. And it wasn't just, you know, Trump versus Biden. Putin didn't do it for 4 years, which was something he had done in every administration since he had taken power the first time back, in the early 2000s. And so the bottom line is that if you want someone to be your priest or your rabbi or your best friend, then go find that person. But if you want someone to lead this country, we have two choices. And the choices couldn't be more of a starker contrast in terms of the direction of this country, both domestically and internationally. And if it's a tough choice for you, I think you have your priorities wrong.
What would you say right now, Sean Spicer, about Mike Johnson and his job as speaker? I don't know where the common ground is here to a certain extent, where I don't like some of the ways that he's handling this legislation. And I don't like, you know, wrapping the Ukraine funding into some of the other packages. That's the way they do it in Washington. But I'm also not a fan of, you know, hey, let's kick out the speaker. I think to a certain extent, the numbers are the numbers and he's beholden to the numbers. Do you look at that a different way or not?
So, the one thing I will say is I feel like to some degree we're given a false choice, right? It was Ukraine funding or not Ukraine funding. And there's this, I just tweeted this out. There's a story out that once he saw the intelligence of what was going on in Ukraine, that he suddenly had this about shift about the urgency. Okay, well then can someone show a picture or a video of the southern border? I mean, I don't understand. The DNI, the Director of National Intelligence, and the head of the FBI are both testifying in open sources about the threat the threats, it's plural, that we face at our southern border if we don't get a handle on it in terms of who's coming in. I mean, Mark, just what was it, 3 weeks ago, that 140 plus people were mowed down in a Moscow theater, and ISIS-K said it very clearly that their next goal was the United States. What does it take? I just don't understand, like, this idea that it's all about Ukraine or not Ukraine. Why aren't those members of Congress going to fly an American flag and say, why aren't we standing up for our sovereignty, for our people, for our protection to stop the flow of fentanyl and terrorism and trafficking? I just don't get it. What is the urgency?
Yeah.
I'm not opposed to helping the people of Ukraine combat Russia. Okay. But this idea that it was a choice that you had to choose one or the other. No, if I were Johnson and you saw some amazing intelligence that showed great, I'd walk out to Mr. President. I tell you what, I agree. This is a big problem. So let's do this. I'll fight for the people of the U.S. You fight for the people of Ukraine. Let's cut a deal. But we gave up. We were complicit. And I keep hearing, here's the thing, from the most moderate Biden district Republican to the most staunch Trump district in the House of Representatives, every single Republican was willing to fight for the border, and you rolled over and got zero for it. And that's what I think Johnson, this was not a tough vote. This was not oh my gosh, we got a bunch of moderates. This was something that from the Mike Lawlers of New York to the Don Bacons in Nebraska to the Matt Gaetzes in Florida, you would have had every single person on board if you fought for the border, and he got nothing, zero. And a bunch of Democrats waved Ukraine flags after that vote because they got everything they wanted. And it wasn't a partisan thing. I don't even look at this as a Republican Democrat. Ukraine won. The U.S. lost.
So is that – how do you chalk that up? Is that Johnson's inexperience as a speaker? Did he allow himself to get strong on? Yeah.
I think it's a combination of his inexperience, of a bad staff. I have a podcast every day that it's on YouTube and Rumble and Spotify that I have member after member. And I say, how big of a deal is the border? Oh, it's the biggest thing. We're all willing. We're all committed to it. Then why didn't you use it? We could have put Democrats. I mean, why weren't Republicans putting Democrats on offense? Excuse me, Republicans on offense, putting Democrats on defense, saying very clearly the border's being flooded by people who are not citizens in this country. Your policies are allowing it. When you agree to do this, we'll do something that you want because you're more committed to fighting for people in another country than you are ours. That was a winning argument every day of the week in every district around America. And I would bet you in a lot of Democratic districts as well. When you look at the polling, it's not, it transcends partisanship. And yet they did nothing. They did nothing. He got nothing for this. Zero. He got TikTok. Are you kidding me? Again, that shouldn't be a partisan issue. There's Maria Cantwell, the Democrat from Washington, and the Senate was on board on that. This wasn't a win for Republicans. Mike Johnson got rolled. And I think a lot of this comes down to a staff that doesn't have the relationships and the willingness and the strategy, but whatever. I'm with you on this. I don't want to go through this whole 15 vote exercise again. We got a slim majority. But the goal was wide open and they didn't take the shot.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.